1395 Adelaide's 5AA. Breakfast with Keith Conlon and Tony Pilkington.
It's 20 minutes to, it's 8:40. All right, a plane crash. The 70th anniversary of it tomorrow happened in Victoria, Mount Dandenong in Victoria, you say.
It had massive implications for the wine industry, for federal politics, and also for air safety in Australia. And someone who can pull all that together with us is former Premier John Bannon, who's also quite an historian on such matters. Oh, right. Morning, John.
Morning, Keith.
And there's a bit of a connection here because the Charles Hawker Scholarship is something dear to your heart?
Absolutely. You know, it's one of the best scholarships going for tertiary study. You know, there's a huge competition for these scholarships. They're awarded for people of outstanding merit. It gives them university fees, residence in a college. I was in charge of St Mark's College for many years here in Adelaide, and some of the best students have been Hawker Scholars, and they go on to great things. So
and Charles
the Hawker,
Hawker
name continues.
Now, Charles Hawker, member of the House of Representatives, is in the ill-fated plane, Kaima, and... Now, what were his prospects? How big a name might he have become?
Well, remember, this is an era, the early era of air travel. It was unusual, so most plane loads of people would carry, you know, either prominent personalities or rich and famous. Charles Hawker was certainly one of the most prominent politicians in Australia at the time. You know, we were coming out of the Depression, but the clouds of war were looming. So there was a huge focus on Australia's position in the world. And here was this man who had a huge reputation for integrity and ability. He'd been a war hero himself in the First World War, so badly wounded that he got around with crutches and calipers. His severe physical handicaps just didn't get in the way of his public service.
Now, is it true that he might have...
tragically, he died.
Is it true that in some ways he was being heralded as maybe a wartime prime minister?
Well, there's an interesting scenario here because Hawker had actually resigned from the cabinet some years before. He actually took a stand on MPs and ministers in particular, making some financial sacrifices during the Depression, as the rest of the workforce was doing. He couldn't take his colleagues with him, so he resigned. He had very good relations across all parties. He was highly respected. He was a member of an independent member of the United Australia Party, so he's on the conservative side of politics, but he got on well with the Labor people. So it was always said of Hawker that if a coalition government was formed in Australia, Hawker would either be the leader or prominent in it.
John, also on board some wine identities. Are they going to Canberra for a conference of some kind?
Yes, the Hill Smith family, the Graham family, the sort of leaders of the South Australian wine industry, and that meant, of course, the national wine industry, they perished as well, and those companies and families had to reconstitute themselves and remake themselves in a hurry. It left a huge gap.
John, what happened? It was an old, DC-2 in those days?
It was a DC-2. Apparently, it was the state of the art, a plane that was regarded as safe and reliable. It had come through from Perth. There were actually some prominent lawyers on board as well who'd been appearing before a Royal Commission in Perth. They were instrument controlled. There was no decent radio connections. There was certainly no air traffic control. And the pilot thought that he was coming into Essendon Airport, but he was actually much further on than he realised, and went slap into the Dandenong Mountains.
He's miles away. If he's coming into Essendon, Dandenong is so far over the other side of town, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, apparently they just made a major navigational miscalculation. Their airspeed was obviously quicker than they thought, and he just didn't know where he was.
And John,
there was no ground controls to help him.
Exactly. Isn't it said that in a way, tragically, the Kaimi disaster did, however, introduce perhaps the safest air safety system in the world?
It created a huge shockwave. You know, people had just assumed that air travel was fine, pilots look out the window or something like that, there was no major issues of control. This brought home with a thud the fact that that unless you had a proper radio control ground system around airports, you were going to have some massive disasters, and it just completely changed the face of aviation in Australia as a result.
And John, this is the 70th anniversary of the Kaima air disaster. I think the ABC's Landline is putting together an excellent sort of program that really puts these four famous South Australians into perspective.
Yes, it's going to be apparently a very good feature based around the presentation of the Hawker Scholarships for this year to an outstanding group of young Australians. And the ceremonies that took place, of course, evoke the names and memories of the Wine families and Hawker himself, the man who may well have been Australia's wartime Prime Minister.
And in terms of the wine industry, there's a plaque actually, I think, isn't there, on the show secretary's office at the Adelaide show, and I think that today they're going to have a cup of tea in tribute to the loss of three really very fine members of our wine industry.
Yes, there's been a trophy apparently awarded each year. And the names inscribed on it, which again was established as part of the memorial of the Kiama disaster.
John, thanks.
Hawker's name, of course, is remembered too. He's had the name of a federal electorate after him, and the Hawker name is still strong.
Exactly. John, thanks for the background on an important anniversary.